Kids go off to children's church and nursery. We've got some birthdays this month. And let's see, Colby had a birthday Thursday. Traveling, we've got a lot of folks out of town on vacation and some sick. And keep praying for Leslie and her family. And her cousin Mark that we've been praying for passed away yesterday. And so, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. You're looking at Peter's letter to the church that he writes as an encouragement to us. And you remember playing ball and PE in school, and they all divided up in teams. And they had their two captains. And if you were really good at sports, man, people always picked you first. But if you were like me and not very fast and not very coordinated, man, you got picked last every time. And you got picked because you were the only one left, so you had to be on that team. But being chosen, especially chosen early, chosen for is a special thing. In this life, when we are chosen for things, it feels kind of good, doesn't it? When, especially if it's an honor. Peter reminds the church that because of Jesus Christ coming into our life and making us new, that we have been picked for a team. And we weren't picked last, and we weren't picked because we were the only one. We were picked because Jesus Christ loved us and has grace towards us and has chosen us for a special purpose. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's begin reading. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 this morning of 1 Peter chapter 2. The Word of God says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious, you also, as living stones, are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But those that are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, and having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." What a great reminder. Remember that Paul's writing to Christians that had been displaced from their home because of persecution. And I think I mentioned last time, what the world and what government meant for evil, God used for good. Because it was by sending and dispersing the church in Jerusalem all around the world, man, the church grew. And more true, because when those Christians had gotten to their new place, guess what they did? They came together and they gathered together and they started a church. And so there were all these churches all over popping up. And what a marvelous thing that probably wouldn't have happened had it not been for that persecution. So God sometimes uses what even seems to us to be bad stuff for good purposes. And he always brings good. And that's what he promises in Romans chapter 8. That he says in verse 28, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And then he follows that up in verse 29. He reminds us that who he foreknew, those that he knew would come to Christ. He chose beforehand that they would be made into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that when the world saw them, they would see him. And so Peter, after he, in chapter 1, gives this wonderful litany of the blessings that we have in Christ and who we are as God's people, and the fact that we've been changed because of God and that we are called to live for him, he tells us and fleshes out a little bit more how we are supposed to do that in the rest of this great letter. And, you know, every day there's choices to be made. You have a choice to come to church or not come to church. Thankfully, you chose to come to church this morning. There are lots of people that not only this morning, but any morning, don't choose to come to church. People, especially in Pearl, Mississippi, and most of the parts of our country, they don't go to church because there's not one for them to go to. They choose not to. And that choice will impact their life. But there's also those that do choose to go to church and to live for God. And the choice is ours. God doesn't make us do anything. It's our choice. Our life is determined by the choices that we make. And by the way, the most important choice any one of us can make is accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Trusting in him and what he did on the cross for me and for you and for all the whosoevers in the world, that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And Paul knew that these that he was writing to had been saved. And so he says, you know what? There's a choice you have to make. And the first is this, that you need to make a choice of grace. And what I mean by that, he says, listen, you have experienced God's grace. Remember last week, he said, you were not a people, but now you're a people. He said, God has changed you by his grace, and because of that grace that he has chosen to show to you, you need to choose to show the effects of receiving that grace. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, he tells us what this is. You see, there are a lot of people that think that the Christian faith is a passive one. Well, you're just, you know, you get saved and that's all there is to it. Well, that's not all there is to it. Our choice of faith is an active choice and it's a continual choice. And so he says, lay aside all malice, all, you know, evil, all lying, back-talking, envy, evil speaking. In other words, put off those bad things that you used to do. And he talks here about how we talk. These are words of, or actions that are word-based, most. And so he says, put that aside. And instead, desire, consume the pure milk of God's word. In other words, put away these bad talkings and then take in God's word. Those are opposites. And by the way, it's a choice. When you read your Bible, it's a choice, just like when you come to church, it's a choice. When you pray, it's a choice. He says, listen, you've received grace. Therefore, because you've received that grace, put away that bad talking and drink in God's word. Now, why do you think Peter said that? Because Peter understood that what goes in comes out. If you fill your life with envy and bad talking and cussing, and that's exactly what's going to come out of your mouth. Because that's what you've put in, and that's what's in your heart. But Peter reminds us that, hey, listen, you've been changed. You've been saved. You're not what you used to be. And so quit taking in that bad stuff and take in God's Word. The psalmist said it this way, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul hungeth after you. Does your soul pant after God? Does it seek after the Bible and God's truth? If you're living for Him and walking with Him, it should. And so Paul says, there's a choice for you to make. Don't do what you used to do. And don't talk like the world. Instead, you ingest God's Word. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the Bible. And by taking in the Bible, guess what he said would happen? He said, you desire the pure milk of the Word of God so that you might taste that the Lord is good. In other words, Peter is telling us and reminding us that as we make the choice to set aside this bad stuff and let the good stuff come in, it's good going down. But guess what? It's good coming out too. It's good because it produces in us a love for God and a love for His church and a love for this world that's headed for hell. Because God loves this world. And He loves those that are headed for hell. And He's concerned about them. And so as we make a circle, and we'll get there at the end, we'll see that by our changed taking in, Peter says at the end, in verse 12, that people will see that changed talk because you've changed your diet. And people, when they're speaking evil of you, they won't find anything. But they'll find God. Are people confronted by God by the choices that you make? Have you put off the things of the old life so that you can eat, digest, and have your life full of the pure truth, the Word of God? To taste that the Lord is indeed gracious. And so, Peter reminds us, hey, you have a choice. God's not going to make you live for Him. He's not going to make you do what you're supposed to draw closer to Him. You've got to make that choice, and by grace you're able to make that choice. But then Peter also reminds us of something else. Not only do we have a choice of grace, but he reminds us of the choice of God. You see, not only do we make a choice, God made a choice. And this was what God's choice was. That God would come and the world would receive Him not. That Jesus would come and walk among them, perform miracles, raise the dead, feed thousands of people, give people sight, do all, you know, heal of disease, all kinds of miraculous things, and would preach the Word of God to reveal the Father. And guess what? People wouldn't listen. But also, guess what? God chose to continue. God says, yeah, I know they're not going to listen. And I know they don't deserve my grace, and they don't deserve my love. They don't deserve for me to care one iota about them. And yet I love them, and they are precious to me. And so I'm going to save them. Those that they rejected are going to become the keystone or the cornerstone of their life. It talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone. We think about that as a building. There's some, and the Greek word that's used here can mean that stone that's placed in a building that all the rest of the bricks were laid off of. It can mean that, but it can also have the idea of a keystone. If you're from Pennsylvania or you've been, you know that Pennsylvania is the keystone state, has the idea of an arch. And the keystone is that middle stone that's holding both of the ends of the arch together. And if you remove that, guess what happens? The whole thing comes tumbling down. And I think that's the idea of what Peter is trying to get at. That Christ is the one that holds our life together and our relationship with God together. And when we try to pull him out, everything else falls down. God chose to use things that were rejected. And by the way, the Old Testament said, prophesied that would happen. Jesus himself said they were going to knock down. When he talked about the temple being knocked down in 3 days, he would raise it up again. He was talking about his body. He was talking about himself. And the thing is that God chose that. He said, there will be some that choose to walk away from the grace that God has given them and offered them. There's some, those that were receptive. God chose, even though people didn't deserve it. And they were unworthy, and that there would be times when they would reject God, he still came. And so he made the choice that whosoever would call upon him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God loved us so much, and that love was a choice. He didn't have to love us, but he chose to love us. And he loved us so much, John 3:16 says, you remember that he loves us so much, he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, listen, some will make the wrong choice. Some will reject it. And so Peter comes back and he says, you know what? You don't have to be that because Jesus is holding you together. Remember, he's that keystone, that capstone, that thing up on top that's holding your world together and enabling you to be all that he created and desires for you to be. You were called out of darkness and into light. You see, here, this was God's choice that man, by their choice of sin, would be separated from him, but God chose to give them a way to come back to him because he did not want to be separated from us. And so he chose to allow us, he said, this is the way they come back. By them looking at that chief cornerstone that the builders rejected, by his own family rejected it, his kinsmen rejected it, his countrymen rejected it, the neighbors, the people he thought were his friends had rejected him, and yet God had chosen him, and God's favor rested upon him. Then he gives us this analogy of light and darkness. He said, you know what? You used to didn't know what mercy was. But God chose to show you what mercy was. And mercy is ultimately shown in the person of Jesus Christ. But mercy is also shown in your changed life. You know you're an emblem and a reflection of God's mercy? And the only reason that any of us are anything that we are, it's by God's grace and by God's mercy. It's because God has worked in our life. It's because God has chosen. And then this is what he says as we wrap up. He says, listen, yes, you have choices to make. God has choices to make. And this is what those two choices, when they're made in a way that honors God, he comes to this last thing, the choice of glory. He says, when you as human beings make the choice to let Jesus Christ be the keystone of your life, that stone that holds everything else together, that stone that brings purpose and meaning and alignment to everything else in your life, when you choose to allow God to be that, your life changes. You didn't used to know light, you only knew darkness. Now Peter says, now you know light. He began by saying, you only knew destructive, evil, bad words. But now, you've known the truth. And you found the graciousness and the preciousness of God's Word. And because you've done that, it changes your life. It changes the way that you live. Now, it doesn't make you perfect. This side of heaven, we never will be. But we should be growing more and more like Christ every day. And so this is how he sums it up. He says, you know what, beloved? I beg you, I plead with you as sojourners and pilgrims. Understand this world is not your home. Is that old hymn that we like to sing sometimes? This world's not my home, I'm just a passing through to treasure somewhere beyond the blue. He says, abstain, stay away from the fleshly lust which war against the soul. Have rather your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Have your life, the way that you live your life, honorable in such a way that people that don't know God, people that hate God, people that deny God even exist, when they look at your life, they say, you know what? There's something different about that man. There's something different about that woman. Let them see that you behave differently than this world. There are a lot of people that say they're Christians and yet they live like this world. And they don't really do anything other than they might go to church maybe on Christmas and Easter, maybe Mother's Day if they're, you know, real radical. They might put a dollar in the offering plate. But those things are not what makes us a child of God. What makes us a child of God is we have put Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone or the capstone of our life. And he's come in and under new management remade us into something marvelous, something wonderful, something good. And the world takes notice of it. So friend, let me ask you this morning, as the world looks at your life and they see your testimony, what are they seeing? Are they seeing a lot of bitterness, envy, strife, bad talking? Or are they seeing someone who is imperfect as imperfect can be, and yet God is doing a work in them and God is changing them? God is making them more compassionate and more gracious and more merciful. Because when you really have experienced those things for yourself, they can't help but become a part of who you are. When you've received forgiveness from God, guess what the scriptures say that means? It means that you're able, because you've received forgiveness you didn't deserve, you're able to forgive others that have hurt you. If you've received God's grace, you become more gracious to others. If you receive God's mercy, you become more merciful to others. Because you have found that. If you have found God's love, you become more loving to others. It's reflected in our life. The choice that you've made, that first choice we talked about, the choice of grace, it doesn't matter which choice you say you've made. Can I tell you, it is evident to everyone around you and to God what choice you've made. It's not on what you say. It's based on what you do. And what you do, the actions that you take, are impacted directly by what you take in. If you take the garbage of this world and that's what you digest and that's what you send your life around, that's what's going to come out of your life, junk in this world. But if you ingest and you desire, you consume the pure truth of God's Word, and you let God's Word and not only God's Word, the physical Word, but the spiritual Word, talking about Jesus Himself, is referred to as God's Word. And if you allow that choice to impact your life, guess what's going to happen? Others will see God in you and through you. You'll become God's hands and feet. Not your own hands and feet anymore, because now you've got a new operator in charge. You got a new something, a source that's driving everything else. And it's not this world or anything of this world. But it's God Himself. And so Peter's admonition to us is, hey, listen, remember, you have to actively make the choice to follow Jesus. If you don't make that choice every day, you've got to get up. You've got to make it when you wake up. You've got to make it while you're eating breakfast. You've got to make it while you're driving to work. You've got to make it while you're at work, dealing with all those numbskulls, coworkers, or public, or whoever it is that you work with and encounter when you work. You've got to make that choice when you drive home. You've got to make that choice at the ball game on Friday night. You've got to constantly make that choice. And remind yourself, I am going to live for the Lord. Jesus is my keystone. He is the thing that drives everything else in my life. And can I tell you that if He doesn't drive everything else in your life, He's not where He needs to be. You see, it wouldn't work for Jesus to be a side stone in an arch or in a building. Because He wouldn't be able to hold everything together in that position. It's not just that Jesus is near you. It's not even that He has some functory presence in your life. It's whether He's that chief cornerstone. That's whether He's the thing that every other part of your life is built around. And that happens through the process of sanctification. By becoming this holy people, this chosen nation. Chosen not by this world, but chosen by God Almighty. And so as we close this morning, we're going to sing an old hymn. It simply says, "Search me, O God. And know my heart today. And friend, if God is the center of your life, He's the chief cornerstone, your life is not perfect, but He's working on you. And you know He's working on you. And if you know He's working on you, praise God for that. He's not finished with you yet. You be assured the world is watching you. It's watching how you talk. It's watching the choices that you make. It's watching how you treat those that say bad things against you. And maybe even against your family and against your church and against your Lord. It's watching. What are they seeing? Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love. And Lord, thank You that You've chosen us. Lord, the reality is that You chose us before we chose You. Lord, if there's one here today or watching on the internet, listening later on the podcast, doesn't know You, they're not living for You, God, would You help them today to make that first all-important choice to say, Lord, I have made a mess of things trying to be in charge. Would You come and be my chief cornerstone? Would You be at the center of my life? Would You be that thing, that capstone that holds all the rest together? Lord, maybe there's one of Your children here today that's not where they ought to be with You. Lord, they're wrestling with putting aside the things of this world. Lord, would You help them today to commit their life to You, to recommit their life to You? Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Help our lives to be such that we're a reflection of You. And people see this church and they see the people that make this church up. They see not this church and they see not our church members, but they see Jesus. Lord, that's our prayer. And that's what we want to work toward. Help us in that, we pray. Stand together this morning.